God's word, if you know it, and you can just pray silently. But Jesus said, pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So here's some diagnostic questions today. I've been asking different things as we begin. Do you ever feel guilty praying for your physical needs? Do you ever think maybe you're kind of bothering God a bit by requesting day after day after day? Well, I've got good news for you. You shouldn't ever feel guilty praying for your physical needs. And you are never, ever bothering God, coming to him day after day after day after day with your requests. Isn't that good? In today's verse that we're looking at, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus invites us as his followers to pray for our physical needs. Just sort of take that in for a second and go, huh. Jesus invites us as his followers to pray for our physical needs, to come to him. Don't be thinking, no, that's not spiritual enough. He invites you to come. Don't be thinking, God doesn't care about that. God doesn't care. He invites you to come. And we're going to see today that really this instruction and this guidance for us in daily practice is one thing God's using to keep us growing, to keep us growing in prayer, to keep us growing in trust, to keep us growing, as we understand this verse rightly, in kingdom living. Jesus said, pray then like this, give us this day our daily bread. So this is, of course, what many people, even the unredeemed, may think of as prayer. Prayer is going to God and asking him for stuff that we need. I want to remind us, though, this is a believer's prayer. This is a disciple's prayer. It was given to those who have personal faith in Christ, who can rightly call God Father because they have been born again, brought into the family of God through their personal faith in the Lord Jesus. So I want us to think then about how we think about and respond to the needs that we have every day. And I want to suggest, I've thought about this in my own case, there are some things that I typically do and regularly do bring to God in prayer related to my physical needs. But as I think about it, there are other categories that I've sort of decided those are mine to handle. And that's a wrong approach. Everything that we think about or concerned about or might worry about related to our physical needs is fair game for us to bring to God. And I just want to ask you a question. Anybody do any worrying, concerning, or thinking about stuff related to your physical needs this past week? Of course, we all did. We did it voluminously. We may have done it constantly. Think about it. And what do we do with that? Well, a lot of times you say, well, I'll just keep going. I guess that's my, I got to do it. And of course, you have responsibilities. I'm not denying that. We're going to talk about that. But God says out of the gate to his redeemed children, come to me, bring these things to me. That's how Jesus instructs us. So when we think about physical needs, let's be honest, we all have them. The believer and the non-believer, the one who is trusting God a ton and the one who's not trusting God at all. Every single person has physical needs. We can only go for seconds without oxygen, for hours or maybe a day or so without water, and days or weeks without food, right? Eventually, every person, redeemed, non-redeemed, godly or ungodly, trusting or not trusting, would no longer physically survive unless their physical needs were cared for. And the Bible tells us that God cares for our physical needs. And for the believer, there's a promise that God meets our physical needs. We're going to talk about this. And the instruction then is that we should pray daily for the physical needs. Now, some may say, well, if God's going to meet them, why should I pray? Well, first and foremost, God told you to pray. So we'll talk a little bit about that. God tells us to. God invites us to, yes, but he does tell us to. And secondly, I would submit to you that a lot of the things God's building into us come in our God's work in shaping us as we do this praying, as we do this going to him and going to him. And so this is in the context of the kingdom. So this God is meeting these needs not so we can live selfishly and think only of ourselves. God is meeting these needs so that we think about his kingdom and glorifying him and how we walk and how we live and how we relate to others and his work. So we should be daily praying for these physical needs. God cares for our needs and meets them daily. And this instruction says that prayer looks to God in our life for every kind of physical need. And of course, physical, we know, relates oftentimes to the emotional, because that, if you're worrying about it, that's obviously getting all worked up emotionally. And physical then oftentimes relates to relational, because if you're all worried about it, you're going to be snapping at people around you, et cetera, right? And the physical not only relates to the emotional and relational, it also profoundly relates to the spiritual, because if we're not trusting God and looking to God, we're all out of whack spiritually and not seeking the things of God. So we're interconnected, but here this verse says physical needs are legitimate prayer requests. Not just legitimate. We're instructed and encouraged to come to him related to those. So we're looking at the Lord's Prayer, the first triplet of petitions in this prayer teach us that we should be coming to God daily about God. Appeals about God are related to the worship of God. He is worthy of worship. Everything we do is for the glory of God. The work of God, that is primarily his kingdom work centered in the gospel. We talked about that. And the will of God, which when we know God through faith in Jesus Christ, we want to be about advancing his will in all that we do. The first triplets relate to that. The second triplets, those three petitions that come next, are about our needs. And we have needs. We have needs related to physical needs. We have needs related to forgiveness needs. And we have needs related to our fight with evil. This is a real, real thing. And, of course, Jesus instructs us in praying regarding all three of these. Today, we're looking at the first of those. So Jesus, we are understanding here, gives us a pattern for how to pray. He taught us not just a prayer, say these words, he taught us a manner of praying. That is, that we pray like this, about the kingdom, the worship of God, the work of God, the will of God, and about the kingdom community, our needs, physically, forgiveness-wise, and in the fight against evil. So today we're going to zero in on just a couple things related to this prayer, looking to God for our daily physical needs. Instructions from Jesus, that's the text itself, and then issues for living these out. Because these simple yet profound instructions do raise for us a lot of issues where Christians can get off and are like, well, what about this, what about that? And here's one sort of summary conclusion I have. If you're thinking about praying or you're thinking about physical needs results in you not praying about your physical needs, your theology's messed up. Your theology's messed up. And a lot of Christians do the stupid thing, and I do it sometimes myself, of taking one scripture and building around that something that contradicts a clear other scripture, such as, well, God has promised to care for me, therefore I won't pray. That's messed up. God's promised to care for you, and he's instructed you to pray. Well, I should be thanking God, therefore I should not ask God. No, God wants you to thank God and ask God. Well, the things of the kingdom are what matter most, so therefore I shouldn't be praying to God about my physical needs. No, the things of the kingdom are what matter most, and I should be praying to God for my physical needs. See what I'm saying? To use one scriptural truth to deny another scriptural truth is messed up theology. And we'll talk about some of those kinds of things issues for living them out. Because a lot of times we have these kind of messed up theological paradigms that are just not helping us to grow in our trust in God or in our Christian living. So we want to grow. How do you get stronger arms if you're, you know, into working out? It's like, hey, man, I got the big arms. Not me, obviously, some of you guys, right? How do you get those? You get those by repetition. You get those by the weights, the push-ups. I mean, you gotta get on it. And you know what? The people that get strong are not the guys that work out two or three times a year, right? They're the guys that are on it every day, every week. Prayer is like this. Prayer is like this. Pray daily, pray biblically, pray consistently, and your trust muscles grow. All those things you're worrying about, whatever, I'm not saying they're going to go away. I'm saying you got trust muscles to contend with those. That's what Jesus is instructing us here. So let's talk about the instructions themselves. Just simply put, Jesus commands. At the beginning, I said he invites us, so that's kind of the privilege part. Praise God, we have the privilege of coming to him regarding to our needs. But we could also say it another way. Jesus commands daily prayer for our physical needs. He's not sort of suggesting you might want to think about it if you got a chance. No, he's saying this is what you should do. So what would you think of a child who did not do what their parents told him or her to do? You'd say, that's a disobedient child. Do you want to be a disobedient child of the king? No, we want to be obedient children. And obedient children heed the instruction of Jesus to pray daily for all our physical needs. Now, in this, there's a couple of specifics we need to talk about. What is bread? And then we'll talk a little bit about the significance of daily. Give us this day our daily bread. So here's a biblical example of a communication device where the part represents the whole. Let's understand this. The part represents the whole. If somebody was a young father, had a baby or two at home, maybe one baby, another toddler still growing up, and they were talking about their need to make money to provide for their family, they might say something like this: I need a job so I can buy diapers. Right? Now, obviously, they need more than diapers. They need wipes and blankets and a place for the family to live and some heat and electricity, et cetera. They need a job for all those things. But why do they say diapers? Because diapers is the part, sort of the quintessential part. If you have a baby, like those things just again and again and again, diapers is the part that represents the whole. So when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, it's an example of that. In that culture, bread was the staple food. And that represented all food. Now, they had a little bit of vegetables, fruit, and meat. But those were somewhat luxuries. The way they survived, the staple food was bread. Every day, bread, that's how you survived, right? So that most basic staple food represents all food. And furthermore, the most basic need here, food, represents all other kinds of basic needs. So, do you need oxygen to live? Yes. Water? Yes. Food? Yes. Shelter? Yes. In our context, a job? Yes. Some basic medical care? Yes. Probably some transportation? Yes. Education in some manner to prepare you for the job? Yes. And God has promised to meet those needs and invites us, in the context of worshiping him and being about his work, to come to him related to those needs. I love what Martin Luther said. This sort of maybe expands our thinking a bit. Luther said, and I quote, bread, of course, not German, but we've been translated, bread is the symbol for everything necessary for the provisions of this life. And Luther then puts in this list, things like I did, but he actually kind of expands it. It make you think a little bit. Is he stretching it, or is he accurately getting the biblical interpretation? Things like food and a healthy body. And then Luther adds good weather. Isn't that interesting? I guess, you know, if it's a total hurricane outside every day, it's hard to even get a job and make a living, and eventually we're not going to survive. House and home, wife and children. For some of us, that is kind of a part of what we need. And certainly if you have a wife and have children, then it's part of what you need to provide for. Maybe that's what Luther was getting at. And then he said, good government. So if there's anarchy, it's kind of hard to have a job or anybody to survive. Eventually, it's just, oh, man, it's like we can't make it. And peace. So bread is not the luxuries of life. Bread is our needs. So we don't want to be like spoiled children, going back to that children's analogy, to sort of demand that God give us everything we see and everything everyone else has. That's not what this verse is about. But it is about going to him related to what we need. And the word daily. The word daily. Give us this day our daily bread. So the Greek word that's translated daily here is the word epousion. And it's a really, really rare word. It's actually used only a few times in the New Testament, and to my knowledge, only once outside of the New Testament in the Greek language of the ancient world, unless some has been found since a study I did a few years ago. So really extremely rare. And some have suggested this word might mean essential or essential needs, since we have very little context and background to know what it means. But I believe that the previous word in the verse that's translated in the ESV and King James and others, this day, it's the Greek word today, it really sort of illuminates what this word epousion means. It does mean that God does provide in the day what is necessary for the day. So I believe that translation daily is good, especially because of the weight of the this day or today. So God instructs us not just in praying to God related to our physical needs, but to pray daily for our physical needs. So some might say, hey, I'll get all that prayer for my physical needs all done. I'll kind of do it once, you know, once a year, once a month, once a week maybe, and just, hey, I'm done with that stuff. No, this is daily. This is coming to God repeatedly that Jesus is instructing here. And if you think of the context in the ancient world, likely Jesus was envisioning, and some Christians have been in this place, certainly throughout history, maybe even a handful today, where literally they are praying in the morning, not knowing where they are going to get the food that day to survive. And we, of course, most of us rarely have had anything close to that. We got a whole cupboard full to survive. It may not be always what we want, but it is what we need. And so we'll talk a little more about that. How does that maybe shape how we look at things based on that? So often, many of our essential needs are met, and yet God still invites us to come related to those things that come up on our worry, concern lists related to physical needs. So let's talk a bit about living these truths out. And one of the issues relates to requests and working. So there are some would say, well, okay, I guess it's my job to pray, therefore I won't work, I won't plan, won't go to school, won't get educated, won't go to the job interview. And that, of course, is wrong thinking, because even the food that you eat requires, for most of us, that we expend the effort of taking it from the plate to our mouth. So prayer is not inconsistent with working. Now, there's some people on the other hand who say, hey, it's up to me if it is to be. God helps them who helps themselves, which isn't biblical anyway. But nevertheless, I'm going to approach life this way, and I don't need to pray. I got to do it. Prayer is not inconsistent with working. Prayer is an expression of it, biblically. So when I pray, I work, and when I work, I pray. That's biblical. And all of this in the context of trusting God and seeking to fulfill the responsibility he gives me. And one thing that stands out to me, that even the word pray, of course, is something you do. The exhortation is a responsibility. And later on, Jesus says, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And that, of course, entails saying, hey, I don't want to be wasteful. And hey, I probably need to manage, hey, what's going in and what's going out. And hey, maybe I need to have a budget and make adjustments and work harder and go to a job interview. Or if I don't have a job, get an interview, and et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm praying and working as I seek the kingdom and his righteousness. And God is then working as I'm praying and taking responsibility to help me to fulfill the responsibilities he gives me, one of which is praying. So don't use working as an excuse for not praying, and don't use praying as an excuse for not working. Request and work in a proper biblical framework. And seek first the kingdom. Let's then talk about requests and waiting. There's a reality. A lot of times with certain needs, and maybe you have physical needs you're thinking of now. Man, I've had this problem forever. It's always here. I can't get rid of it. So what am I supposed to do? Like say, God doesn't work. God must not on this one be caring. No. That's not the right approach. We wait. We continue to go to God. In the midst of the struggles of life, the things that we face, and some people, you know, it seems like they don't have many physical needs. And then other people seem like they got a ton of physical needs that are sort of daily, right? But in either case, we know God has promised to give us what we need to live. And Matthew 6:32 says, your heavenly Father knows you need them all. Just look at the verses just following. It's about trust in God and anxiety being driven out as we trust in God. And yet God then tells us to pray too. Now, well, what's the deal with this? Well, I believe it is that God uses the waiting as a part of the growing, right? He grows us as we wait and as we pray. We want him to sort of zap it into us, just make us strong. Well, God has ordered and determined the way he makes us strong is as we trust him in the struggle, as we look to him, as we wait. And so God cares, but he's not into zapping. He's into building as we look to him. Now, of course, he can zap, but typically that's not the way it works. And that's what Jesus is presenting here. He's saying God knows and cares and can provide, and he instructs us here, ask and trust. Now, some may say, what about the person, the Christian, who they don't get the medical care that they need and they die? They don't get the food that they need and they die. They don't get the water that they need, or they're stranded somewhere and they don't get rescued and they die. Did God not deliver? Did God not meet his promise to care for their needs? Absolutely not. God met their need every single moment that they needed the need to be met. And the Bible says very clearly, God has determined the day of each person's death. We can look at a lot of passages related to that. One is Job chapter 14, verse 5. So on the day that God has determined that you are to die, whatever that day is, God will no longer provide what is needed for you to live, because God has determined you don't need to live. And for the believer, of course, happy day, you're being transferred to the presence of God, no harm. In fact, great blessing. So God is 100% delivering on his promise. So we look to him, we trust in him, and we wait. And you know that even that daily has that idea of waiting, doesn't it? Because it's today. So, and tomorrow is another day to look to him, and the next day is another day, and the next day is another day, and the next day is another day. So requests are consistent also with waiting. God's promise is consistent with waiting. He builds us and grows us through the waiting. What about trusting? There's this struggle we have. If we're honest, we all have it, some of us perhaps more than others, but it's like, man, there's a whole lot of stuff to be concerned about. And if you got kids, you probably got more things to be concerned about, right? They're vulnerable young creatures. They could quickly meet their demise because of their ignorance, right? And you always, oh, we pray. And then even as they get older, they may have greater risk because they think they know, right? But they don't yet. So it's going to keep you on your knees, praying, Lord God, help him, Lord God, help him, Lord God, protect him, Lord God, protect him. And this is not a wrong thing to do. This is a right thing to do. This is what God has passed. We're praying for our needs and needs of our families. We're coming to God, and we're trusting. I love the saying, and this is something we need to do every day, turn your cares into prayers. Can we just say that? Turn your cares into prayers. Legitimate concerns should be turned into prayers. Now, yes, responsibilities, work, go to the job interview, et cetera, et cetera. That's good too. But first and foremost, turn your cares into prayers. And then keep doing it every day. Every day, turn my cares into prayers. And many of us need to do this many times a day. Here's an analogy. I hope it doesn't seem irreverent. Anxiety is like trash in your house. And God uses prayer to take it out. And what made me think of this is that experience I've had after I've taken the trash out, and I come back in the house, the trash is going the next day, I'm going to eat a banana. I kind of would like to have a banana. And I look at that and say, no, I'm not going to eat that banana because I do not want more trash in my house. It's done. It's out. But guess what? Every day, you and I make more trash in our house. It's called anxiety. And you can't say, I'm going to get rid of all anxiety for the rest of the year. No, nope. Tomorrow's anxiety, today, it's like, no, you got to take that out. God, take it out, please. Here it is. And sometimes, on more than one occasion, I've taken the trash out two or maybe three times just to make sure all the trash is out, right? That's what we got to do with this thing related to anxiety. Turn it over, turn it over, turn it over, turn it over. God uses prayer to take it out and lifts us from the muck of anxiety to the wonder of kingdom work. When we're about the kingdom work, we got a whole less to be anxious about. You may think, well, that doesn't make sense because you got more you're concerned about because you got all the other people and all the needs and all the things God's doing. And like, no, but I'm about the things of God, and God uses that to sort of lift us. I'm picturing sort of like a ship stuck in the muck, and then the tide lifts it up because we're about the things of the kingdom. So we turn our cares into prayers. We'll be about the things of the kingdom. And like, man, you know what? That anxiety is long gone. Yeah, we still battle with it, but we're winning the battle. God uses prayer like that. Do not be anxious, Jesus said in Matthew 6:25, about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor the body or what you'll put on. Of course, he's not saying don't do proper planning and work, etc. He's saying trust me. Trust me. And prayer is how we do that trusting. Requests are very consistent with and fostering trust. Let's talk about prayers and thanking for a minute. There are some Christians, I've heard this before, who say Christians should only thank God for his provision, shouldn't ask him for stuff. And of course, that's directly countering what Jesus says here. Jesus says we should ask him. So requests and thanking go together. When I request and God answers, I thank. And when I have things I don't need to ask for, I thank. So think of all those things, I think this is important for us to do, that you're not asking God for, that you need. Why are you not asking? Because every day you get them. Food, clothes, shelter, whatever most of us, you get. And probably when physical problems arrive, then you're like, oh, yeah, I do need God, don't I? And it's appropriate to go to him. But everything you don't have to ask for is something you should be thanking God for. And everything you are asking for is something you can thank God for when God provides. So anything that comes up, we thank him for, we ask him for, and we thank him for. Anything we're aware of, as we think, we thank him for. And when we have needs, we ask him for. So requests and thanking go together. We ask God related to our needs, and we thank God related to his provision of those. Everything given is another reason to thank God for his provision. So it's wrong to say believers should only thank God for meeting our needs. Believe we should thank God for meeting our needs, but not only. We ask. Jesus instructs us to ask. And then let's talk about prayer requests related to our physical needs and the kingdom. So we talked a little bit about this earlier, but this is so important. The focus of this, as we see it in its context, is not for you alone or you and your little family. And too many Christians think of the Christian faith that way. We need to pray with these needs with a wide-angle lens of the kingdom and the kingdom community. What do I mean by that? Well, this is in the context of the King, Jesus. This is in the context of those who call God Father, and they're all about the glory of God, the one we seek to glorify. It's the context of being about the kingdom, the gospel, and its advance. Those are the priorities. It's in the context, too, of the kingdom community. Let's think about this. Two very important words, often neglected in this short instruction: give us this day our daily bread. It's not me. It's us. Not me and my little family. Me and my little close group of friends are just like me. No, it's us, our, the kingdom community, everyone who belongs to Jesus. Wow. When you're a community of believers like this, then, yeah, this we're definitely praying with us in mind and the needs here. And who are those that have physical needs? Who are those who maybe don't have enough food and don't have shelter and don't have a job and have physical problems? We pray regarding us, and we pray with that lens of the kingdom of the whole believing community of the world. Who are the believers in Jesus in the world that don't have their physical needs met today? We pray with that kind of mindset. And, of course, God often then prompts us to help and give and be compassionately involved with people in our own community of believers and in the broader community of believers. And as that community of believers has that kind of kingdom mindset, of course, we're even looking about people beyond the community of believers in the name of Jesus. All that's here in this hour in the kingdom, the wide lens. So I've concluded, and I guess if you're different than this, you tell me, Pastor Bruce, that's not me. But sometimes I pray as if I'm the only Christian in the world. It's really messed up. It's like I pray my needs, my family, my little church, and that's just messed up. Can we say this together if we believe it? I'm not the only Christian who has needs. I'm not the only Christian who has needs, right? So those needs you have, they're legitimate. Bring them to Jesus. But the whole community of believers has those needs. And the whole broader community of believers has a bunch of needs. And we pray mindful of that. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. So as we pray with this kingdom wide-angle lens, God then, I believe, moves us to compassionate action, to giving, to generosity, to looking at things like Trinity's Benevolent Fund, not as a throwaway, but as very purposeful. This behind-the-scenes thing where the loose change once a month and anything you designate anytime goes to help needs in the name of Jesus through Trinity Community Church. Things like giving to the food pantry, a little basket in the center lobby, is not a throwaway. It's like it's a part of kingdom living. Things like giving to missions or sponsoring a child or taking other steps God would lead us to take are not throwaways. They're part of kingdom living. So as God moves us and guides us, He does that often as we sincerely pray this kind of prayer: give us today our daily bread. And of course, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, the food, clothing, physical things you need, will be added unto you. And when we're seeking that kingdom, we have a concern for how they're being added unto others who have those needs as well. We can't do everything. But this prayer is instructing us very clearly in the kind of thing we should be praying as God directs us and leads us in doing what he would want us to do. So requests are in the context of the wide lens of the kingdom and the kingdom community, aren't they? How do we respond to all this? I just want to kind of focus on two different groups, a charge and encouragement for the one, and two charges for the other.